This is PhotoBizX, episode number 556, and today we have returning guest, photography business and mindset coach, Joel Dunn. And the reason I've asked him back for this episode was following an email he sent me where he shared his thoughts on why some photographers are just so coachable and become so successful, and why others simply fail in business. We're going to dive into all that plus more in the interview that's coming up in just a minute.
Are you planning to have a successful wedding and portrait photography business? Join Andrew as he interviews successful photographers and business experts to fast-track your success. Welcome to the PhotoBiz Exposed podcast with your host, Andrew Helmich.
Hey, it's Andrew Helmich here, host of the PhotoBizX podcast, where I interview guests from around the world to help you build a better photography business, even faster than going it alone. And today, it is a familiar name in Joel Dunn. Familiar, particularly if you've been listening to the podcast for any length of time, because Joel has featured on the podcast in multiple episodes. Plus, he also taught the pricing masterclass a little while back. And I know you're going to love what he has to share in today's episode. That's coming up in just a minute. Before we do get into that interview with Joel, if you didn't catch last week's episode with Rochelle Steele, it was a little different to the usual interview because Rochelle is less focused on profit and business and generating a huge income and more focused on creating her fine art photography. Yes, she does want to make a living, or she does make a living through her photography, but she admitted that she has to make some cuts in her lifestyle or in her choices to support the photography that she wants to create. And I think an interview like that one gives some great balance to so many of the other interviews that I do record on the podcast. And I know that you will love that interview if you do get back and have a listen to that one, just to hear, absorb, and take in a different point of view on photography and business. Just before we jump into this interview with Joel, I did want to share a couple of quick things that you may not be aware of that I am pretty slack at sharing with you, and that is little updates and changes to the PhotoBizX.com website and making you aware of a couple of things you may not know or maybe you've missed along the way. The first one being, if you are a premium member or you're thinking about becoming a premium member, please be aware that you can listen to the premium episodes of the podcast through a podcast app. That means you can get the premium episodes downloaded to your app automatically every single week as soon as an episode is released. Plus, you can access the last 50 episodes in the back catalog in that podcast app as well. So you do not have to listen to the podcast on the PhotoBizX.com website. You can listen to it the way you listen to any other podcast. What happens is when you become a premium member, you will get your own personal premium RSS feed URL. Yes, that is a mouthful. I'll show you how to access that URL. You add that into your podcast app, and then that's it. You're done. That link will continue to work for the life of your membership. Now, the caveat to that is that, unfortunately, that URL is not supported, or any premium RSS feed URL is not supported by Spotify at this time. So you do have to use a different app if you like to use Spotify to listen to your podcast. And I recommend apps like Downcast or Pocket Cast, or you can simply use the Apple Podcast app if you have an iPhone. They all work incredibly well. So if you have any difficulty setting that up, let me know and I will talk you through that. I'll be happy to do that. The other quick thing, if you are a premium member and you have purchased any of the courses on the PhotoBizX.com website, if you're having trouble finding those or you can't get back to those, you can't remember what you've purchased, I've now set up a new URL that you can go to see all your courses. Simply go to PhotoBizX.com/your-courses. So it's PhotoBizX.com/your-courses. And then you'll see a list of your courses, which are hyperlinks. So you can click on those courses and go directly to those course pages. So that's an easy way to access them. Otherwise, you can go to the premium menu on the PhotoBizX.com website, go down to the courses submenu and access your courses there if you can remember which ones you've purchased. Now, the last thing I did want to share with you, in case you are unaware, If you are a premium member, make sure that if you are looking to purchase any additional courses, you go to the premium resource page, because on there you'll see that your courses are discounted. Now, that could be through a rebate where you purchase a course and I'll refund you 20, 30 or 40% depending on what that rebate is for your particular course. So the main thing to remember is access any courses that you want to purchase through the premium resources page. And again, you'll find that under the premium menu on the photobizx.com website. That's where you want to be spending most of your time if you're a premium member. And of course, all those benefits will be available to you if you are a free listener and you become a premium member. And I guess the last thing to add here is if you have any difficulty navigating the website, finding something, if something's not working the way you think it should be and you are a premium member, please let me know. I'll jump on a call with you. We can exchange some messages or emails, however you want to communicate, and I will make sure that you are all sorted and it's a good, fun, seamless experience with the PhotoBizX website and the podcast. Alrighty, that is it for the public announcement. Let's get on with the rest of today's episode.
You're listening to the number one photography business podcast with Andrew Helmich, photobizx.com.
Oh, just one thing. If you are hearing this announcement, it does mean you are listening to the free version of the podcast. Now, what that means is you will not hear the full interview today with Joel Dunn. I am saving a large portion of the second half for premium members only. The good news, you can access the full interview for as little as $1 with a 30-day premium membership. It's a trial membership. You'll get full access to the interview today with Joel. You can access the full back catalog, get an invite to the members Facebook group, see exactly what you're missing out on, access the premium resource page, see all the goodies and all the discounts that the members get as part of their membership. Again, you can check it all out for as little as $1 with that 30-day trial membership. And there are more details about that over at photobizx.com/try.
Welcome to another Great Eye for Business. It's time for Andrew's special guest.
Today's special guest will be familiar to you if you've been listening to the podcast for any length of time, because he has been featured a number of times. He is a photography business coach. He focuses primarily on mindset and getting you past the roadblocks that are holding you back with your photography business. In addition to that, he has run a successful studio for a number of years. He left that behind. I think he sold it. I'm going to find out more when we kick off or bring him into this conversation in just a minute. And he's focusing 100% on helping photographers succeed in their own businesses. Of course, I'm talking about Joel Dunn from Joel Dunn Mindset and Business Coaching. And it is great to have him back. Joel, welcome.
Thanks, Andrew. Always good to be on the podcast and talking with you.
Yeah, mate, I said you've been interviewed a number of times. You've also delivered courses and training. You've done so much with me and with the listeners as well. So, mate, it is really cool to have you back. I said you sold your business. Is that right? Or did you close the doors? What did you do there?
Yeah, it was interesting. I was very close to selling the whole thing and it took 6 months to get to that point. And then it was in COVID, so it all fell over because the guy couldn't get the finance in, but ended up just selling some parts of it. So we were just talking before about the school's fundraising strategy for marketing. I sold that aspect of the business to a PhotoBiz member, actually, and he's doing really well with it. Like, he's done fantastic, and he sort of, we just sold the list and the concept and the training, and he ran with it. Yeah.
Wow. So that old saying, the money's in the list, that's a true thing. Like, that's the asset of the business.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. And then we sold the gear and did different stuff as well. But, and then I could have put it back on the market, but I didn't want to spend another 6 months trying to sell it when I was really focused on the mindset and the coaching. So we just let the rest of it go.
Right. Okay. And how are you feeling now that you've sort of let that part of your life, that part of the business go?
It was really, it took me probably 2 years to actually get to the point where I could do that, because it was 22 years as a photographer was such a big part of my identity, and it was really profitable. Like, it was really hard to go. And I was only probably spending maybe 5 or 6 hours in that business. But I knew if I didn't let go of that business, I could never fully grow and reach the potential in the coaching and what I wanted to do there. So it was tough. Like, it was a bit of mourning probably at the start. And then I thought, well, what am I going to do with all my spare time? And it didn't end up being like that. You, I'm, you know, you fill time in your new business with other things.
Absolutely. Especially if it was only taking you 4 or 5 hours a day or a week. Did you say a day or a week?
A week, yeah.
A week. That's not a lot of extra time.
Yeah, it sort of got to the point where I was just shooting. And Jacinta, my studio manager, who still works with me, was pretty much running it. And I had another part-time staff member, and I'd just show up to the shoots, and I'd obviously do some marketing stuff as well.
Right. So now that you're, I guess you could be mobile now with your business, have you got plans to, you know, to live the laptop lifestyle in Fiji or Bali, or are you staying put in Melbourne?
Oh, three kids under 13. It's a bit hard to do that, but I am traveling a lot more. So I've got, you know, went to the US, just got back from the US, which was great. I'll be going over there again next year. I think I'm going over a couple of times actually, and I'm going to New Zealand a couple of times. I've got a retreat over there, actually. I'm doing two retreats this year, one in Australia and New Zealand, so that's exciting. So I can travel a bit more freely, I guess.
Right. So for these trips, are they business trips for JD mindset coaching, or are they for you to grow your own self?
Yeah, both. So I'll go back over to the conference I just went to. I'll go back to that next year, which is great. And also there's potentially I'm going to be doing something with a company, like to do some talking over there potentially. So I don't want to mention it just in case it's not actually going to happen, but that's potentially Seattle, LA sort of area.
Nice. Unreal. Mate, and the reason I asked you to come back on and record this interview was we were exchanging some emails, and then you sent me an email. It's like, wow, it blew my mind. It was about coaching and all the photographers that you've coached. And you were saying that some photographers that you do work with are 100% coachable. They find success. They go on and do great things. You can sort of let them go and fly. And other ones just, I don't think you use the term crash and burn, but some of them just don't get it. They don't succeed. Do you want to go into that email and the reasons why some photographers succeed and some don't?
Yeah, I guess the reason I wrote it was sort of just for me to put it out in my own words, and it's not really like the very vast majority of people I coach, because I'm very careful on who comes in now, do great. But it was more a generalization for the industry, because, you know, with photo biz, with different Facebook forums, you see a lot of people posting a lot of stuff all the time. And you can see patterns of why people aren't successful and why people are. And then you get a really detailed look at that when you're coaching someone, and why they weren't successful before coaching, why they are after. And then some people that actually do come into coaching and don't get the success they want as well. Like, it's just, and it was more out of frustration than anything. I wrote it down for myself. And then we were exchanging at the time, and I thought, oh, well, Andrew will probably enjoy reading this. And that's sort of where it started. And I distilled it down to five or six main things in common that really successful people have in business in general, not just the photography space. And that's where it stemmed from, yeah.
Well, let's dive into them. Let's go into the five or six things that you identified. I think the first one was habit.
Yeah, this is a powerful one, because at the end of the day, you are your habits, good and bad. So how you show up day to day, and a lot of what we do and a lot of business owners, they've got unconscious habits. It's just, you know, you get up in the morning, or your first thing you do, your alarm goes off, you grab your phone and you're on Instagram, you're on Facebook, and you're on, like, you're straight into that. And that's how you start your day, where what I train with my clients is to start your day with the morning ritual and a meditation, and don't go on your phone for the first hour so you can process and get ready for the day. And just little habits like that can make a dramatic transformation. And I talked to you just before, I'm going to be, and this is more for my own sake to keep me accountable, I'm going to design a journal, because I've been doing it so long and there's nothing that on the market that I've found that has everything I want in it. So I'm going to create a journal so I can give to my clients that they can do this morning ritual. But habits, everything from, yeah, morning ritual to your exercise to what you're eating to how you dress to how you show up. So when you consciously create habits that are fueling and helping your success, everything can change.
Is there a proven way to, I don't know, do you break a habit or do you introduce a new habit? Like, what's the right way to do it? Let's say I get up and I've taken on board what you've said, and I'm speaking literally here, and instead of grabbing my phone, now I just get up and I have a glass of water, and then I'll make a coffee and then go for a walk or whatever it may be, kick off the day. So that's sort of my routine. But what my bad habit is, when I'm having my coffee, I'll start flicking through YouTube and start watching YouTube videos. And sometimes they'll be full videos. Sometimes they're just the shorts, and I'm just flicking mine. And then I finish 15 or 20 minutes later, I think, I don't ever remember anything I just watched. And I know in my head I should be reading a book instead. So what's the best way to go from not watching YouTube and reading a book, you know, if that's a little habit to break?
Yeah, and it's not trying to do everything at once. And that's where people go wrong, especially like with dieting or losing weight, for example. They go, all right, I'm going to get up early, I'm going to go to the gym 5 times a week, I'm going to cut out sugar, I'm going to stop drinking alcohol, they do everything, and then a week in, they break, right? It's just too much. But the thing with the morning is it's the most powerful time, because your mind, as you're about to go to sleep and as you're waking up, is the most powerful time to train it, or to whatever you're watching or listening to or doing seeps in really deeply, because you're in that in-between state. So if you're going straight onto YouTube or Facebook and watching crap, that's what's being programmed. So the first thing, you know, might be a simple habit of, all right, for 30 days when I get up, I'm not going to look at my phone for an hour. That's it. So you're breaking that habit. That's it. And once you get that, okay, now before I go for a walk, I might do a 10-minute meditation instead of having my coffee first. And then you're slowly just introducing different things. And when you do it for 30 days, you start to feel different. And when you start to feel different or feel the results, then it's easy to keep. You go, wow, I feel way more aligned or not as scattered when I do it this way versus what I did do it.
So with me, with my YouTube videos, if I want to go to reading instead, I want to read for that 20 minutes. How long do you think it would take to make that a new habit?
Yeah, they say 30 to 60 days, but I always start with 30 days and I do a conscious commitment sheet with my clients where it's like a sheet with 30 squares on it. You go, okay, this is the commitment. This is, I'm going to start this day, and you just tick it off. So when you are tracking a habit, you're more likely to keep it as well, because it's a little endorphin hit ticking off every day and you can see progress, right? So also keeping it, make it as easy as possible. So if you want to read every day, make sure you put your book where you're going to have your coffee and it's ready to go, or your Kindle or whatever. But if you get there and go, oh, what am I going to read today? Then you might just go, I'll stuff it. I don't know. It's too hard. So you got to set yourself up for success for these things as well. Like when I go to the gym in the morning, it's hard to get out of bed at 5:40 in the morning. So I have my gym clothes there. I have everything ready to go. I have my water bottle. So I just get out of bed, hop in the car and go.
Makes sense. Okay, so don't have my Kindle on my phone. Like you have a separate Kindle or a separate book.
Well, no, yes. Like my clients have a meditation app and that's on their phone. But you can go to your phone for that. It's just not going to social medias and different things. But if you can't trust yourself, maybe have it separately.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so habits are and when you talk about habit, I mean, you even said in your email to me, you know I bang on about this morning routine because it's so good, it gets so many results. Like, is that where the habits start for a photographer that you're coaching? Like, is it the morning routine, or is it a habit of, you know, doing their marketing or not doing something else? Or
That's a really interesting one. Like, I always start with the morning ritual, because when you do that and do it really powerfully, other things just start to fall into place. You start to do marketing. You start to do the things you've been putting off because you're getting really powerfully aligned and you're a bit more productive because you know, after the first 20 minutes of the day, you know exactly what's going to happen that day, what you're doing, what sort of tasks you need to do, what you want to happen, and all those things fall into place a lot quicker. And I do bang on about it, but by far, and there's a lot of the clients that have been on this podcast do this really well, is the people and my clients who consistently do the morning ritual, like in my coaching and then after, by far the most successful. By so far, it's not funny. So some clients in the 12-week program do it really powerfully and some don't. And that's what we train on, obviously. And okay, why aren't you doing it? But you know, there's clients I could reel off on here that have been on the podcast and are dominating in business. They still do the morning ritual stuff. And it's no coincidence that they're doing really well. But I bang on about it all the time, but I know most people aren't ever going to do anything about it.
So do you see in your coaching the photographers who don't implement the morning ritual, do you see then that they are more likely to fail in, well, maybe not in business, but yeah, more likely to fail?
Yes, for sure. And sometimes it's a process through the 12-week training I do with them that they, in and out of it, they start to get consistent. Then they start to see results, because when you're shifting something, particularly getting up a bit earlier, or if you've got kids and different things coming, like you can make a lot of excuses, like, you know, oh, I couldn't do it this morning because of this. And it's like, there's 1,440 minutes in every day. It takes 20 minutes. You just go to bed 20 minutes earlier. Like, it's pretty simple. Now, obviously, some people got newborns and mums, it's different, right? So we go and work with them on what looks right for them. So if they're breastfeeding at 3 a.m. and then 6 a.m. and, you know, they need sleep, right? So we look at it and go, okay, well, this is when you should do it, or this is when you can set it up. So we make it work for everyone. It's just having that commitment to do it. And that's why I want to bring the journal out. So it's something that's really easy to have and track, because tracking it is really important.
When are we likely to see the journal?
Don't put a date on it. I wanted to do it this year. I never got around to it. So let's say the first half of the year.
All right. That's good. All right. You mentioned it. I had to ask you when it's coming.
Well, the only reason I did mention it, because I know now I've mentioned it, I have to do it.
You're going to be accountable.
Yeah. I caught up with one of my lovely clients, Brianna, when I was in America, and I told her, and she's like, all right, sign me up. I want one already. So sold the first one.
Very good. All right, mate, the second thing on your list was action. How is action different to habit?
Action sort of comes into, it can be habit too, for sure, but it's also generally what photographers tend to do, because we're creators and we usually, everyone puts off what they don't want to do. We go, oh, we tell ourselves we need to do retouching, and we tell ourselves we've got to do these other things, which are easy tasks. So retouching, you don't have to get out of your comfort zone. You have to do anything. So we'll go, oh, I better catch up on this retouching, instead of going, actually, I need to get some marketing strategies in place and call some clients or do the things we need to do. So it's taking the right actions that are actually going to move the needle in the business, not the actions we do to keep ourselves busy.
Right. So let's say I've got a bunch of things that I know I've got to do in the business. What do you encourage your clients to do, you know, so they do them in the right order?
Yeah, and part of the morning ritual is like, okay, what are the three things you need to get done today that are going to move the needle forward in the business, like actually make a difference? And it might be one thing, it might be three things, but it's usually marketing, sales, business strategies first. And then it's like the washing or the retouching or little things. It's like, okay, well, if I can call 5 clients today or reach out to 5 different businesses to do a promotion with, that's going to be really beneficial. Or if I, you know, I've got a list of clients to call. It's like a lot of photographers don't like getting on the phone. All right, just call 5 of your leads today. That's it. Just simple things like that that are actually going to make a difference.
And then do you encourage then your clients to do those, you know, let's say it's make 5 calls to 5 leads. Do you say do that very first thing or just get it done anytime in the day?
Yeah, always the quicker the better. Like one of the things with my coaching, we get everyone comes into the group to do a Facebook Live in the group, and that freaks people out, right? So we used to say, all right, you got a week to do it. And literally everyone would do it on that last day, the last hour. And so now we say, all right, once we get off this call, that's the first thing you're going to do.
Right.
And they do it, right? And they go, oh, well, that wasn't that bad. And then they don't stress about it all week, because usually the things we put off, they're not as bad as we think they're going to be. We just make them out to be bad because our mind, when it gets to the edge of that comfort zone, pulls back and goes, oh, we'll do that later. We'll put it off. We'll procrastinate on it. But when you do it, it's like, oh, well, that was relatively easy.
I like that. Okay. So get it done quickly and knock it off the list.
Correct.
Cool. What's the next thing you had on your list?
Well, this sort of ties in, which is comfort zone. So it's sort of the actions we know we need to take that we don't take. And that can be different for anyone. Like some people are like, calling leads is a really big fear, and other photographers go, oh, that's easy, right? So it's what's out of your comfort zone. So I had a client once, lovely lady, and she listens to the podcast, so she might hear this, but I won't mention her name, but a massive, massive shift for her was to reach out to another business to do a third party promotion with that we do. And it took her weeks to actually build up the courage to go talk to this business owner, which she sort of knew. And she literally physically threw up before that meeting, like threw up. She was that scared, but she did it and it turned out really well. I think she got, you know, a couple hundred leads from it and did amazing because she pushed through. She got these great results. And the next time she did it, she didn't throw up. She was still with another business, but it was easier, right? And then she did quite a few of them in the end, but that was courage, right? Like I was so proud of that. Like for some people that would be quite easy, but for her it was such a comfort zone thing that she threw up before it. Like that's ballsy.
That's huge.
Yeah. And we're always on the edge like anytime you got fear around something in business, because you're creeping up to that edge you've got, and if you don't step over it, which most of us don't, we just pull back, get more comfortable here. When you actually go over it, that's where you get those dramatic jumps and results in your life and business. Like, and it's, you know, it could be hiring someone for the first time. It could be getting a studio, right? It could be hiring a coach, or it could be anything. Like a lot of time, hiring a coach is a massive out of the comfort zone for people, and they really, you know, little fear around it because it's assessment. And what if it doesn't work? And all those sort of things. Same as a marketing campaign. What if I spend $300 on Facebook ads and I get nothing? Like all these fear. And we always go to that worst case scenario where if you pull it back and go, oh, what if it does work? And what if it, you know, what if I back myself here? And that's the power.
Yeah. So with that photographer that you're working with that was actually sick before she went and organized or had that meeting, do you try and find out like what the fear is, or it doesn't matter?
The fear is usually the same. It's universal. Like it's fear of judgment, it's fear of failure. There's a few main ones. And yeah, we definitely decipher and we dive into that and unpack that for sure. And that's part of it. But once she did it and he said yes, the guy that she was like, so happy, like so pumped and over the moon. It was like the adrenaline rush I think she had from it was like phenomenal, like the feel-good hormones that come in when you really do something. Like anyone who's done something that's really scary and come over the other side, it's pretty powerful.
Yeah. So with her specifically, so you were talking to her, she explained that she had this fear of, so it was her actual fear of failure or embarrassment?
Yeah, it was like judgment and them saying no. And we broke it down and go, what is the worst thing that can happen? And she said, well, he says, no, I don't want to do it. I'm like, is that bad? Are you going to die? Like, and she's like, well, no. And when we sort of distilled that fear down, I was like, well, if that happens, if you can go to the worst case scenario and go, okay, I'm okay with that, then the rest is great, right? But very rarely does the worst case ever happen. And it's like someone is just saying no to you. That's what the fear was. And then you can go into deeper, obviously, why that is and why you've got fear around that. But so much of the fear around photographers is the judgment usually, or what will people think? And that's where we just sort of look at it. And like I said, go to the worst case scenario and see, is that bad if they say no? And generally it's like, no, I'll be fine.
So even with your help with this photographer, so you dived in, you found out, you know, what the real roadblock was, you know, why she was feeling so uncomfortable. Even though you dissected all of that, she still felt physically sick. So she still has to display courage to get past that. You can't just take it away with words. She's got to go and do it.
Correct. Yeah, you can say everything you want and plan it. You have to actually physically do something. That's where you overcome these fears, because you do it and go, wow, well, that wasn't anywhere near as bad as my mind was making it.
Right.
And he actually said yes. Yeah.
So the next thing on your list is mindset. And I know, you know, I always talk about you as the mindset coach. That's how you talk about yourself. And you've already been talking a lot about mindset. Does that just tie into everything you've already covered, or is it separate?
Yeah, well, this comes back to habit. It's really about mindset. When you distill it down, it's like what you're saying to yourself in your own head, really, and the voice in there and how, and then what I try to do with my trainings is having awareness over that, like having awareness of what's going on. Because a lot of time with our mindset or our inner thoughts, it's on autopilot. And we're so preoccupied with what's happening or what did happen that we're not even hearing it. We're just showing up a certain way without even realizing it. So the morning ritual, the meditations, this stuff, all of a sudden you can hear it and go, oh, okay, I can see where this is limiting me or what I need to do here. And that's mindset in a bubble, I guess, is understanding your own inner dialogue and why it's there, how it's stopping you. A lot of stuff we do with clients is, okay, why is that there? And really understanding how that belief about yourself came to be. And then how do we break that down? Because the only limitation people have is what they think they can do or what's going on in their head.
So what's an example of someone's mindset holding them back in their photography business?
Okay. So good question. Let me find an example. So I've had a lot of clients, like, and a lot of time there's certain things that they, once we dive in, it's something that happened in childhood. For example, like my mum always, you know, I talked to a client and I think she got like 96% on a test or something. And her mum's like, why didn't you get 100? Right. And it was like tiny things, like when you look back as an adult, like little conversations, little things that happen as a kid. But when you're a kid, that's big. as a kid, right? So we hold on to these beliefs and stuff, and subconsciously it's like, I can't fail. I need to be perfect at everything. I'm not going to do it. And this client was like, I'm not doing something unless I can do it perfect. And perfectionism ruins business owners, right? If you're never going to be perfect. So she wasn't taking action because she was so scared to do not do it perfectly, or procrastinating for so long before launching anything until it was perfect. And then when we broke it down, that's where it came from. That conversation with her mum when she was 10 or something, right? And she's like, holy shit, I didn't even realize. And then she, this actual client actually then had a conversation with her mum about it 30 years later and said, and my mum's like, I wouldn't have said that. I don't remember saying that. And anyway, I had a whole conversation, but they sort of healed a bit of stuff as well, right? So that's some of the crazy stuff that can be stopping us.
Yeah.
30 years later. Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's just, there's so many different examples of that.
Yeah. The first things that came to my mind were either sales or raising prices. Like that must be two things that you hear a lot about. Like the great photographer even has a great price list, has great products, but has struggles to sell their own work.
Yeah, money blocks are huge. They're probably the, and it's usually, yeah, stuff like, it's always the money mindset they had growing up. Like, what was their parents' mindset? What was their grandparents? All the people around them, like, money doesn't grow on trees, and, you know, we can't have that. You know, rich people are assholes, and all these different things that you heard as a child that are so ingrained in you. And there's a lot of safety around money too. Like, I need to hold on to money so I feel safe, or I can't invest in this, or I can't do that. And it's, yeah, it's just breaking that down. And I was like that with my business. Like, I remember that's why I got coaching, is like, I was stuck on certain price points. I'm like, we're at 1300 at one stage. And I'm like, I've made it. This is like, I've hit the peak of what I can charge. This is, and then I had a coach and he's like, all right, all these things. I'm like, no, that won't work. Like, I've hit the peak. How do I just get more clients? And at that point, if you had told me we would have doubled our average in the next 10 months, I would have, there's 0% chance I thought that could, like, no chance I thought that can happen, but we did it. And that was just because I had to really shift my mindset on what was possible, and also trust the process, trust this coach, and actually just do it. And then you start to get, so the courage to do it, then the confidence comes once you get the results. You're like, holy shit, people are buying this. I get it from clients all the time. I get a text message going, holy shit, this worked, or holy shit, I just got a $3,000 sale. Well, I can't believe this. Like, they literally, even though a lot of my clients can see people in the group doing it, or they can see testimonials, or they know it's possible, but until they do it for themselves, it's not real. It's just, oh, that works for them. Well, that's okay, because they live in America or Australia, or they live in Melbourne or London, or, you know. Not for me. That's not possible for me.
So why don't they think it's possible? Do they start thinking, like, do they think that it's because of their work, or?
Everyone thinks they're unique and individual and in my area, or, you know, it's, yeah, it's just like, well, I can't do that, because they don't believe in themselves.
Right. So they create an excuse that isn't really there.
Yeah. It's more of a limitation than an excuse. It's like they want it to work, and on some level they might think it's possible, but they don't believe it. And that's why you got to get out of the fear and just do stuff, and then you get a result, and then that confidence jumps huge, like dramatically. Once you do it once, you know it's possible, right?
Right. And is that what you have to do then? You have to keep push. Do you have to push them to say, listen, you just got to try it once?
Yeah, it's like sometimes, like, one of the things I have, I guess, as a coach is you got to, I believe in them more than they believe in themselves, because I can see, looking from an outside in, the potential and the gap there. Like, you should, this is what's possible for you, and they don't see it. But when you've got a coach in your corner, you get that someone's holding your hand and going, this is how to do it. You can do it. I can see you do it. That gives them the confidence to actually try it.
Right. So then what happens if, let's say you're coaching me, you're telling me, Andrew, you can double your prices. I'm scared. I've got these limiting beliefs about myself and stuff that's from childhood, and you tell me I can do it, and then I double my prices, I get my clients through, and they don't buy. Like, that must be, is that a nightmare then for you as a coach?
Premium members of PhotoBiz Exposed hear more of the best photography business strategies from every guest.
So with that photographer who hadn't been on the date with his wife for 25 years, did you pick that up, or did he know that was an issue?
No, he didn't know it was an issue until we started sort of diving into stuff. And setting out some of these non-negotiables, like, oh wow, I didn't even, you know, I knew we weren't connecting and we're just sort of living. But that became, okay, I want to focus on this. So what's that look like? And then they started having conversations and they go out for dinner and like, he's like, holy shit. Like a lot of time we don't have awareness over stuff because we're so caught up in our stress and so caught up in the future and the past that we miss sometimes what's right in front of us.
Yeah, it's good. Mate, that's a great story to finish this on. Mate, it's been amazing chatting to you again. I always really enjoy our conversations and I'm sure the listener does as well. For anyone that wants to hear about more of you and what you're doing, whether it's your free stuff, your paid stuff, where should we go?
I think Instagram's the best. We're always putting a lot of free content on there to help people with this sort of stuff. It's just Joel Dunn, at Joel Dunn, JOHLDUNN. And you can always hit me up there if you've got any questions. That's probably the, and any trainings we do or stuff, we usually chuck on there as well. So that's probably the best.
Unreal. All right, mate. I'll add links to those in the show notes where people can find you. Instagram, I'll also include your website there as well. Mate, again, massive thanks. And here's to a massive 2024.
Thank you. And just before we finish, I just want to give you a shout out because we've worked together for a long time and all done, you know, interviews for a long time. But what a lot of people don't realize is some of the stuff you do behind the scenes with helping people. And I'm sure there's a lot of people listening that do understand that. And you're very generous with your time. So massive shout out to you. I think what you do for the industry is phenomenal. And there's so much gold in your interviews. Like I still listen to a lot of them. It's like, wow. And you somehow get stuff out of people. Like you're a very good interviewer. So for what it costs for PhotoBiz, this is like I said, investing in yourself. This is such a tiny investment with such a big upside. So I think, you know, it's the best podcast going around. So a big shout out to you as well and what you've done to the industry over the last, I don't know how long you've been doing this, for a while.
Over 10 years now. Mate, yeah, thank you, mate. Thank you. That's really appreciated. Really lovely for you to say, and it means a ton coming from you, mate. So thank you so much.
Not a problem at all. And thanks for having me back on.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Joel as much as I did. Joel, if you are listening, thank you again so much, mate, for coming on, for sharing everything you did. It's always a pleasure talking to you, hearing your thoughts and ideas on how to grow a successful photography business in the current climate. For you, the listener, I do hope there were a ton of takeaways from what Joel had to share. If you do have a follow-up question for Joel, I've got links to anywhere and everywhere that you can find him in the show notes for today's episode. They are at photobizx.com/556. And of course, if you are a premium member, you'll have easy access to Joel inside the members Facebook group where he is an active member. You can tag him in the group with a follow-up question or if you just want to say thanks for coming on and sharing what he did. Additionally, you can reach out directly to Joel on social media or via his email. Again, I've got links to where you can find him in the show notes. Alrighty, that is just about going to wrap up this episode of the podcast. I'll be heading down to Bright, which is one of the most mountainous regions in Australia. I'll be heading down there next week to go cycling with all my club mates, or a bunch of my club mates anyway. So if next week's episode is a little later than usual, that is the reason why. Until then, have a great and successful, profitable week. Stay safe, healthy, and well, and I will talk to you soon. Bye for now.
If you have enjoyed this episode, head to photobizx.com. Join the conversation, leave a comment, and share your thoughts on the interview with Andrew and today's special guest.